This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
We're going to continue on with the Daring Faith series today with the message called Daring to Plant in Faith. Now, this is harvest time in the Midwest, so we're kind of looking at the opposite side, but there is some planting going on right now. I think winter wheat is just about the season, but we're going to talk about planting in faith today. And as we continue on in this Daring Faith series, our goal is this, to challenge and to stretch us, to believe God to do greater things than we've yet seen. So you want to grab your notes that's in your worship guide. We're going to take a few notes this morning. Before I go there, let me just give you an update on Bob Hale. Those of you who know Bob and Renee Hale that go to church here, Bob is the serial hugger of the congregation, and Bob had a heart attack Friday and was hospitalized, and we're waiting on results today to see what the process will be for his recovery. Probably will be surgery at some level. We don't know yet, but they're evaluating him, doing the tests. I've seen him the last couple of days in good spirits and not in any pain and just waiting for wisdom from the team of doctors. So if you'll continue to pray for Bob and for Renee, we'll keep you updated. If you're on our Facebook page, there's an actual prayer page of our restoration prayer people, so you can follow up and see how Bob's doing and continue to pray for him. Looking at Genesis chapter 8 is where we're going today. Daring to plant in faith. We have some experience, of course, here in the Midwest, knowing what farmers go through, all the hard work. I touched on farmers last week. Remember the three categories of people we talked about when we talked about daring to commit? What were those three occupations we highlighted? What was the first? Athlete was one. Soldier was number two. There's one right back there. My favorite soldier right there. And then what was the third one? Farmer, exactly. So we're going to go a little bit deeper in the number three. We kind of short-sheeted the farmer last week. We're going to give him a little more cred today. So Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I want you to read it together with me, either from your smartphone or off the screen this morning. Let's read together. Genesis 8, 22. As long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. That's a principle that God wove into how the earth works, how life happens. Seed time and harvest. It says in Galatians 6, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. Whatever a person plants, he will harvest. That's the nature of life. Everything begins as a seed. If there isn't a seed, there isn't life. That's just kind of how it works. So today, let's pray and ask God to open up our understanding so we have a deeper revelation of what he's talking about here and how it applies to us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word is living and active. It's sharp. It comes in and it makes a change in us, and that's what we want today. We welcome the effect of the word in our lives. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us in greater depth today. And most importantly, show us how this word applies to us so we can see an increase in the harvest in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's take some notes. Number one, everything starts as a seed. Everything starts as a seed. In life, that's the way it begins. Genesis 1, God said, let the land have seed-bearing plants and trees that bear fruit with seed in it according to their varieties. Everything in life begins as a seed. Think about that. Without a seed, there's no life. Every idea, every great accomplishment, somewhere along the line, there was a seed of an idea. Every nation, America started as a seed of an idea of freedom, right? Your life began as a seed. We don't need to go any further down that road, but you know what I'm talking about. Everything began as a seed. That's where the life comes from. If it didn't come from a seed, it's not alive. And I want to give you a definition of what a seed is today. It might surprise you. Let's read this definition together. A seed is anything valuable that I give away. Let's say that again. A seed is anything valuable that I give away. Interesting. I watched a movie last night. You ever seen the movie Little Boy? That is the most underrated movie in the universe. It came out this year, did miserably at the box office. It cost $20 million to make, and it only grossed $7 million. Amazing movie. All about faith the size of a mustard seed. And it was incredible what this little boy went through. His dad was taken prisoner of war in World War II. And his faith to see his father returned. I bawled twice. Not once, but twice. Okay? Confession. Good movie. But his faith was so remarkable. And this little boy with this little faith and what was able to be accomplished through that, the most valuable thing in his life, the thing that mattered the most, was what he poured his life into. A seed is anything of value that you choose to give away. We typically, you know, talk about this in terms of money. Okay, that's one of them. But there's so many other areas in life where we have value that if you want to see a harvest, what do you have to do? You have to give it away. It's just the opposite the way we think in the natural. In the natural, we think we hoard, right? We keep it. We hang on to it. In the kingdom, what's most valuable, you give away. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Number two, nothing happens until the seed is planted. That seed stays in the packet, you're not going to get anything, right? You're going to collect packets. But if you sow that seed, then you're going to see a harvest. John 12:24. This is a life verse for me. You've all heard me tell the story. I won't bore you again. But for me, this became so real during a difficult time in my life. And Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, it cannot reproduce. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. See, that's the problem. Death is giving away the seed. Because in the natural, we want to hold on because of fear. What if this is the only one I got? What if I lose this? This is the most valuable thing to me. And what did we just say about the kingdom? It's when you give that thing away. It feels like death. It feels like the opposite of life. But in reality, in the giving, Jesus said, no one that has given his life for my sake, for the kingdom, but will find that life 100 times over. Not only in the life to come, but in this present day too. Again, think of this in broad terms of your life. In many areas where you're needing to see a harvest, what are we going to have to do if we're going to see the increase? We're going to have to give away what's most valuable to us. Mark 4, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like someone who plants seed in the ground. Night and day, whether the person is asleep or awake, the seed still grows. But the person does not know how it grows. See, our task, our job is to plant. Night and day, it's a continual thing. It isn't like a one time and then you run away and just, you've done your thing. You know, you've done your duty. No, it's a continual thing. And then we trust God for the increase. Again, that's a part of the death. You put that seed in the ground and you can't see it anymore. It's gone. You don't go dig it up every day to check and see if there's any growth, right? That's sort of counterproductive. You sow a seed, you leave it. You kind of forget about it. It's now in God's hands. Man, isn't that a great antidote for worry for some of us who are tending to do that? We want to go check it every once in a while. We get frustrated when we don't see the evidence. And God says, do you really trust me? If you do, then you'll sow that thing, you'll give it away, and you'll leave it in my hands. Number three, when I have a need, I should plant a seed. These are lessons the farmer knows well. See, that's why I love living in the Midwest. We have perfect illustrations all around us. We see fields of grain being harvested right now. If those farmers who have needs, right, they're doing this to earn a living. If they kept their seed in the seed bins, storing it, they're never going to see an increase, will they? They'll just have this seed that they're hanging on to. But if they want to see that thing grow, they've got to plant it in the ground. Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, do your planting in the morning and in the evening too. You never know it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other. The farmer can't look at a barren field and pray, oh God, please make my crop grow. Because God will say, well, did you plant anything? Well, no, but please make it grow, right? It doesn't work that way. How many of you know a farmer? Farmers are the most hardworking people I think I've ever known. I mean, they're up before the chickens and go to bed long after they do. They're working hard every day. They don't take a break. Jerry Rincher is an example to me of a man who works like that. It's like he just never stops. He's the Energizer Bunny. He's constantly going. And I tell you, I see the fruit in the lives of these men and women who work so hard. But it's nonstop effort. Planting, not just in the morning, but in the evening. Planting continually. Working, laboring, putting in the effort, and then waiting on God. The truth is, life is a continual sowing. Every day. Constantly. It's not something, again, that we do and then just feel like we've done our thing. We wipe our hands and we walk away. We continue to be faithful in that effort that God's given us. Because not sowing is also sowing, right? You're always sowing, either intentionally or unintentionally. When I'm not sowing, I'm sowing. I'm going to reap a harvest of not sowing, right? I'm going to reap a harvest of not seeing the results that I want. If I want to see a result in my life, I'm going to have to sow toward the good. If I say I want results, but I'm not sowing toward the good, then I'm sowing to the bad. I'm sowing procrastination. I'm sowing putting it off. I'm sowing not wanting to deal with it. And I'll reap that same harvest that I've just sown because, number four, whatever I plant is what I will reap. Isn't that crazy? If you put a watermelon seed in the ground, you're not going to get zucchini, right? You're going to get exactly what you sow in the ground. That's what Galatians 6:7. You reap exactly what you plant. It was interesting because sometimes you don't even know what you're planting. You're sowing unconsciously. We had last year after Halloween, Crystal likes to go get some pumpkins, right? We do that. And then about November 15th, they're looking a little funky, right? On the front porch, get a little squishy and nasty. So I get the lovely task of putting them in a bucket and disposing of them. And typically, in our backyard, got a couple of big pine trees. It's my little dumping ground, right? It's like the compost pile. So I go and I dump it out there. And lo and behold, this summer I look, and I've got a pumpkin vine. It's like, how did that happen? And then I went and harvested a pumpkin, like this big, right? I didn't even know I was planting pumpkins, but one came out, and it's sitting in my house. It's been chewed on by the rabbits a little bit, but it's amazing how I didn't even realize I was planting something, but I did, and I reaped a harvest of what I sowed. That's how the seed works. Galatians 6:7. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others and ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. That's all he'll have to show for his life. But the one who plants in response to God, see, this is the intentional planting. This is the on-purpose planting. Letting God's Spirit do the work in him harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. See, it's whatever I dish out, whatever I give away, whatever I sow, whether I realize I'm doing it or not. The way I treat the waitress at the restaurant. The way I treat the stranger on the street. Interesting. I'm just scanning the crowd here because I always have to be careful. Our Wednesday night group this week, very interesting. We had four people in our midst who are homeless. Two of which came on purpose and two just wandered in because one of them went out for a smoke break, you know. And it was amazing to me to see these folks come in off the street and our chance to love on them and show them some kindness. And you could say, well, did they deserve it? Well, did you? I mean, if you've never had interaction with homeless people, it's a different world. They don't smell quite the same as most folks do on Sunday morning. And I went to hug one of them, and you're just thinking, what am I getting? You know what I mean? I'm being honest, right? Am I the only bad person in the room? My true confessions here? It's like, how are they going to receive that? I don't know. One guy was obviously high. We just loved on him. We're sowing kindness. You know, someone did that to me when I didn't deserve it. And I get it all the time, right? I never deserve it. God's continually sowing in me. And whatever I give out, kindness, mercy, acceptance, unconditional love, that's the seed, right? So what am I going to get back when I plant those seeds? What I sowed. Kindness, mercy, unconditional love. Now, to be truthful, sometimes you're putting that seed in the ground and you have no idea if that's going to work or not. Because I have sown seed and not seen a harvest. Anybody else? Sown seed in people and not seen harvest. And so it maybe makes you discouraged, which is why the farmer doesn't give up. The farmer continually sows. And because of his faithfulness, God is faithful to bring the harvest. I got to tell you, we had a chance on Thursday night to go to the Hillcrest Transitional Housing Ball, which is their annual fundraiser. So, you know, we support Hillcrest Transitional Housing with our apartment that you guys all help bring stuff to. And you know, we have a team that keeps it ready for those who are either homeless or in danger of becoming so. And giving them a shot at making a new life. Now, not every person who goes through that program succeeds. It took us almost a year to get a graduate. It's a 90-day program, so you do the math. We saw a lot of people go through the apartment the first year. But then we started seeing some success. And Thursday night, one of those success stories spoke at the ball. And it was our own Cody Widener. And if you know Cody, she's a member of Restoration Church. And I was just so proud of her. She has sown some really good seed in her life and is now seeing some fruit. But church, you all have sown into her as well by helping us provide that opportunity for her to have a place to live and to stay and to be brought up from a bad situation. She had to take responsibility to sow good seed, right? But also we had the opportunity to provide good ground for her to work in. And it just you wouldn't have had any buttons left on your shirt after Thursday night. I'm telling you, she hit it out of the park. So proud of Cody. Which is another reality, number five. We're not the only ones sowing seeds. We're a part of a much larger harvest machine. I'm thankful for Restoration. Man, I love what's happening here. I wouldn't go to church anywhere else, even if I wasn't the pastor. But we're one of a lot of combines, a lot of farmers in this community of ours who are sowing seed. Hillcrest is another one of those seed sowers, and we work in conjunction with them. So we don't get to thinking it's all about us, and we're all that, we're all so bad, you know, we're the coolest. No, it's that when we have this bigger understanding as a kingdom-minded person, meaning the apostle says some are sowing seed and some are watering and some are tending and some are harvesting, that's what it's about. John 4, Jesus said, I sent you to reap where you didn't plant. See, Cody came to Christ because some church went to the hospital and ministered to her when she was sick. Somebody went through the halls and read the Bible to her. I don't know who. They sowed some seed, and that's just bearing fruit. See, you never know. Don't get frustrated if you don't get the one to reap the harvest. You just be faithful to do your part. You sow the seed. You water. You add kindness. You add value. You add affirmation, support, encouragement, whatever it is you can do. And God uses that. The bigger picture is so much more important than your satisfaction of getting to do the reaping, right? That's what's important. As a member of the kingdom, that's what we do. Number six, this is good to remember in the patience category. I always reap in a different season than the one that I sow. Notice that? You sow in one season, you reap in another. Man, in American Christianity, we want it now. Everything's instant. Everything's consumer-driven. What's in it for me? We don't like this stuff where we sow and don't get any personal benefit, at least not immediately. We're selfish brat kids, aren't we? We just are. We don't want to put in the hard work. We want it today. And that's something we've got to break. Ecclesiastes 3 says it like this. There was a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to scatter and a time to gather. In the old days, you know, they didn't have the fancy planting machines. They literally broadcast sowed their fields. So they would take a handful of seed and then just throw it out. Called broadcast spreading, right? Interesting, that's kind of where we get our term for broadcasting today. We're doing electronic sowing, right? We put a signal in the air, it goes everywhere. And me as a former broadcaster, I think that's kind of a cool analogy. Because that's what God's called us to do, to be broadcasters. We're not stingy sowers. We don't pick and choose. Well, I think I'll sow there, but I'm not so sure about that. See, God's testing our heart, I think, sometimes to see what's our true motivation here. It would have been easy for us. Gosh, I don't know how vulnerable to be here. Wednesday night, when our friends were in the house, gosh, this sounds bad. You're going to say, man, Pastor, you need to get saved. Because when these guys came in the house, I was nervous that maybe they were casing the joint. Because how many, you know, we've been robbed before, right? So I was like, oh, I don't know if I want them to see all of our good stuff. You know what I mean? Isn't that horrible? Then I got to thinking, you know what? But I want them in church on Sunday. They're going to see all of our good stuff then. So it's your stuff anyway, Lord. I'm going to be a generous sower. I'm not going to withhold. I'm not going to be afraid of what could happen. You know, in relationships, sometimes that's the way we approach it. It's like, ooh, what if this comes back to bite me? Anybody ever been bitten before? I can show you teeth marks. Trust me. You know, especially as a pastor. 27 years now in ministry, Chris and I, and we've sown in a lot of people. You don't even want to know some of the stories. It's like, really? It'll either come back and bite you in the butt or it just disappears without a trace. It's like, what happened? Just gone, poof. So it tends to make you cynical, tends to make you leery, and that is not the heart of Jesus. Jesus approached no one with a leery, cynical heart. In fact, this morning as we were singing, wow, just I want to jump up there and interject, but Lindsay was doing such a good job, I didn't want to do that. But she sang, our affection, our devotion poured out on the feet of Jesus. I love that story from the scriptures, where the scripture says a sinful woman in the village found where Jesus was staying, came into the house where Jesus was, and began to weep and wash his feet with her tears and dry his feet with her hair and broke an expensive jar of perfume and anointed him. And that's such a great reminder for all of us. Jesus accepts the sinful woman. No one said, you're not worthy. When you get it together, you're a sinful woman. What do you think you're doing in here? Coming into the house where the Son of God is. There was none of this arm's length relationship. If Jesus can receive the sinful woman, there's no excuse for us. Jesus received the service of a sinful person. That kind of doesn't fly in the face of a lot of people's Christianity. But I'm telling you, it's the heart of God. Because such were all of us. Such are all of us. Paul says, apart from the grace of God, that's me. Which is why we can't afford to be stingy with our seed. We've got to be broadcasting, general sowing all the time. And just because you reap in this season doesn't, or sow in this season doesn't mean you're going to reap immediately. You know how long it takes a grapefruit to ripen? I had no idea. Never lived in Florida. 2 years for a grapefruit to ripen. Thankfully, I don't like grapefruit, so I don't care. But that's a long time. There's some patience required. Number 7, so I must be patient and not give up. I hate that word. I told the group on Wednesday night, I'm a terrible tweener. I don't like the waiting. I want to be single or married. I was a terrible dater. I didn't date anybody till I met Krista. And then it was just because I can't pass this up. But it took me 2.5 years to figure out. It's like, can't we just get on with this, right? But yet, I was afraid of the commitment. There was a process. Same with your sowing. Galatians 6 says, let's not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessing. If we don't get discouraged, and we don't give up. Unfortunately, it's a messy, dirty process. It's sweaty. It's hard work. It's not glamorous. It's not sexy. It's just work. And it gets tiresome, and you just kind of get tired and discouraged. You want it now. That's probably the biggest lesson I've learned as a pastor, especially coming down here. Is I'm a perfectionist. I'm OCD. Drives me crazy to see things undone. Come on, you know? It's like, gee whiz. It's taught me to appreciate the process and to be thankful for what we have. You know, one of the most rewarding things for me is to watch new people come in the door and just go, oh, this is so. And it's refreshing for me. It's a reminder to me. A good thing is going on here. Did you see that baptism video? That's a good thing. Good things are going on even when it doesn't look perfect. Even when the results you're hoping for you don't see yet. Continue to sow. Be faithful. You will reap a harvest if you don't give up and don't get discouraged. Just keep on keeping on. God is faithful. It's all about Him. And here's a good one, number 8. I always reap more than I sow. That's the beauty of the seed. You got this tiny little seed, but when you put it in the ground, when it comes up, there's a whole cluster of grain. Your increase is multiplied over. That's what I get excited about. I don't get excited about the patience part. That's the stuff. But the increase I get excited about. Because you always reap more than you sow. Mark 4, Jesus said, some seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times. God designed the seed to produce more than itself. But it's got to be sown. It's not going to do that sitting in the box. But when you sow it, you get an increase that's more than the seed that you started out with. It's how God designed the universe to work. See, this is where I think prosperity theology got off and why so many people are critical of it. And I understand it, and I'm equally critical if you use it all for you. But see, it's not wrong to be blessed. That's not a bad thing. Poverty does not bring you closer to God. And I've lived in poverty. I'm saying that poverty's like a sign that God doesn't love you. Sometimes you go through seasons and there's a need. But see, that's when this principle becomes even more important. Because even in our need, even in our times of lack, even when we don't see results, even when we're the ones in need, that's the most important time to be sowing seed. Why? Because then you're never going to see a harvest. If you hang on to the seed, you eat the seed, you hoard the seed, you sit on the seed, you lock it away. It's like the guy with the talents, right? The guy that buried his talent, and the master comes back and says, what did you do? Why didn't you invest it at least? He had even what he had taken away from him. But the one that sows the seed, that invests the talent, God intends to use you for your good too. It's not just for the good of everybody else around you. It's okay to be blessed. Turn to someone next to you and say, it's okay to be blessed. Take that condemnation off of you, okay? It's all right. It's okay to be blessed. I'm thankful to live in one of the most blessed nations on earth, aren't you? Yeah. Go live in a third world country for a while, and you'll realize how blessed we are. It's a good thing. But when we use it for ourselves or we put other people down because of it, that's when it becomes an issue. So number 9, I can increase my harvest by planting more seed. If you want a greater harvest, you plant more seed. That's how it works. The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. 2 Corinthians 9. Paul said this, remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give, he's talking specifically about monetary sowing now. Each one should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. The actual translation here is hilarious. It's like ridiculous. Like you're just out of control. You can't help yourself. It's funny for me as a pastor, and I've only been preaching for, 7 years now when we started the church 2 years ago here at Restoration, 5 years before that at Riverside. This is kind of new territory for me. And I'm a horrible fundraiser guy. It's not what I do. But this is a matter of discipleship. And because I want us to grow as Christians, I'm not going to back off from things that are hard to say. It's the Bible that talks about this, not me. Just because this has been abused, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. There's a principle here God wants us to catch. There's a reason why Jesus talked about money more than heaven or hell. 5 times more. This has got our heart, people. It just does. I'm talking about me. I'm a people, too. I grew up in a home that didn't have squat. We didn't have running water, a toilet, a bathtub. I didn't brush my teeth when I was in high school. Didn't know I was supposed to. I was raised in pretty poor conditions. So I understand this mentality, this desperation. I don't understand the other side of it where when you've got so much and you're like Mr. Potter and It's a Wonderful Life. I don't get that guy. But I get being poor and afraid. I get that. Which I think where most of us are. I don't think we had any Mr. Potters in the room. And we get some people that might have some need though. So it's important for us to realize that when God talks about this issue of giving, it's not because he wants your money. It's because he wants you to have the increase that the harvest brings. That's what sowing seeds for. Not just stick it in the ground and it rots. So there's a produce. There's an increase for you in your life. And it's not just money. It's love. It's kindness. It's appreciation. It's affirmation. It's identity. That's what I love about being a pastor. I hope that what I'm doing with you guys on Sundays is just casting seed out there to bless y'all. That's what I want. That's why I love getting to know you and hugging my guys and loving on people. It's like I'm the one that reaps the harvest. I remember when I became a pastor, growing up in a home without a lot of affirmation or love or, you know, never was told I love you or never thought I could amount to anything in life. When I became a pastor, I was praying so hard because it wasn't the career move I planned. I'd been in broadcasting, you know, for 16 years, and I thought that was my life. And then the Lord challenged me to take a step closer to the church. I'd never known family before. And I remember I was praying so, so hard because I really, it wasn't the career path I had dreamed of. And I remember praying, and I felt the Lord said to me this. He said, you need to let these people love you. And it was hard for me to receive. I didn't know how to receive love. It was just strange to me. But I've learned, and I just thought of this yesterday. I thought, I think I'm finally beginning to understand that. Because I'm receiving from you all, I feel much more than I'm giving to you. I receive that love from you. And it makes me a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better follower of Jesus. So thank you for sowing into me. I'm seeing results. I'm not saying that boastful. I'm just saying I'm a better guy because of you. You've sown into me. This is a wonderful relationship we have going on here. I'm benefiting from it. I want to keep doing it. I want to continue to sow seed and see God bring the result. Proverbs 11 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. See, if I'm stingy with my love, my affection, my time, my energy, my passion, my resources, my world gets smaller. If I had stayed in that little cocoon of a guy that didn't know how to receive love or how to give it away, my life would not have grown the way it has. I'm far from perfect, but I kind of like where we're at today. But what motivates me is there's a whole lot of people that aren't in this room today. They're just hanging around St. Joe, just going through life. They don't know that there's more. God has so much more for them. They're just waiting. They're fields waiting to be plowed, for seed to be sown in. It's what motivates me to keep doing what we're doing. Things like what we saw last Sunday. That was just about as good as it gets right there. Seeing these men come in here Wednesday night, just kind of looking around, sort of shell-shocked that anybody would really care about them and love them and give them a cup of coffee and show them some kindness. It's awesome. It's a great feeling. So let me ask you, what do you need more of in your life? What is it you need more of? What kind of a harvest are you needing right now? Well, can I say, according to the Word of God, that's what you need to be planting. That's the crop you're going to receive. You plant what it is you need. Opposite of our natural mentality. I needed love. I needed affirmation. I figured out I need to be sowing that in other people. And man, I've reaped a harvest I can't contain. I was sitting here today looking at this team. I love my team. Let's love you guys. Lindsay, watching you and Chanel go today, my gosh. Watching my sons up on the platform, and this is so cool. If this is as good as it gets, I'm okay. But I got a feeling there's a whole lot more. Because there's a lot more people that we need to be reaching and sowing into. Number 10, the more seed I plant, the more God will give to me. Don't get hung up on the fact that God wants to bless you. Remember we said it's okay. God wants to increase your seed. Why? So you're blessed, but then guess what you get to do? Sow more seed. Because of the increase he brings your way. 2 Corinthians 9, God who supplies seed to the farmer and bread to eat will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow. Why? So that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. See, you may not be rich materially, but I'm telling you, every person here has more than enough seed. God has given you what you need right now. Don't say someday, well, if I only had more. See, people say that to me. It's like, well, I wish I could afford to tithe. I just can't. It's like, wait. We need to back up the train here. Tithe is just simply giving of the increase that you've been given. So you've got something, right? You've got a talent. You've got a gift. You've got love. You've got skills. We know you got looks. Sow that. Give it away. Watch God. God says, actually, he says, test me. It's the only time in Scripture God says, test me. When it comes to sowing, test me. And of course, the context is specifically money. But I'm telling you, it works in any category. Test me. Come on. It's Morpheus, right, in the Matrix. So come on, bring it on. Let me show you what I can do. I love it. And yes, people use that as a manipulation tool. I get it. So can we just put that dead horse in the ground and forget about it? Someone said, the horse is dead, dismount, get off. Let's leave that alone. Let's move on to what God intended, okay? Just because it's abused doesn't mean it's bad. It means we're not going to abuse it. It means we're going to love each other. Listen, God doesn't love you anymore whether you sow lots of seed or no seed. He loves you the same. Can we just say that? Plain. But you might miss out on some things that he has for you if you don't step into. See, I'm just telling you, I've lived this story. I wish I could just show you pictures. You wouldn't believe where my life has come from. I should not be here. A lot of people sowed into me. And if I hadn't reciprocated by broadcasting my seed, I wouldn't have the full life I have today. And I'm grateful. And I want that for people that I love. Number 11, I plant by faith, not by feelings. I plant by faith. See, if you go by your feelings, you'll never sow any seed. It's way too easy to fear. Way too easy to be wary and skeptical and critical. Psalm 126 says, those who plant in tears. And I've planted plenty of seed in tears. Will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Wow. I've never really thought of that verse in this context before. I don't know why I always thought the weeping was a good thing. I don't know why I thought that. Because I guess I didn't think the scriptures would be that real. But sometimes there are seasons of tears. Anybody? Season of tears? Season of weeping? Season of heartache. Season of just life sucks, you know? Been there, done that. Got a whole closet full of t-shirts. But the scriptures promises those who sow their seed in tears will reap with joy. I remember one time leading worship at a church where there was a lady there who was just a sweet, sweet lady. And just the most giving, generous person I think I'd ever met. Beautiful heart. And she got breast cancer. And it developed very quickly. It's been several years ago before treatments were as effective as they are today. She went through chemo, lost all of her hair. I'll never forget her sitting out in the congregation with her rag on her head. Wanda, you can relate to the rag on your head, right? She's not here, is she? She's in the nursery. She's sewing today. Her name is Charlotte. Sweetest smile. Ugh, just awesome lady. In worship, man, she would just be gone. You could just tell Charlotte is no longer on the planet. Her body's here, but her spirit's somewhere, Pluto or somewhere. I don't know where she's at. Just lost in worship. And I'll never forget standing on the platform looking at Charlotte worshiping and just thinking, listen, if you can worship going through the depths of cancer, the valley of the shadow of death, you can worship anywhere. And Charlotte lost her battle with cancer. But it taught me a lesson. Charlotte was sowing in tears. She was faithful even when life didn't make sense. Even when her world was coming, crashing down around her, and it looked like she was going to lose her family. She left two little kids behind and a loving husband. But I'm telling you, she went out well. Because it's not all about this life. There's a life to come. That's why we sow now, while we have time, with the resources God's given us. We often hold on to the seed for fear there won't be enough. And by holding on to our seed, we miss out on the harvest. Because of the hardship of life, because of how unfair things seem, if we can break through that false view and realize the full life that's waiting for us, the harvest that's available, if we will risk it and sow some seed. Verse 12, the last thing I'll say, number 12. The best time to plant is right now. If you wait for the perfect conditions, you will never sow seed. There's never going to be a perfect time, Ecclesiastes 11. Those who wait for perfect weather will never plant seeds. Those who look at every cloud will never reap a harvest. There will never be a perfect time to sow. It's like there'll never be a perfect time to have kids, right? They're always going to drive you crazy and make you broke. So just go ahead and have kids. Make babies. You know, it's like, why wait? It's never going to be perfect. You're waiting for the right opportunity, the magic moment. By prolonging the planting, you're just prolonging the harvest. And this prolonging really is what it is. It's fear. It's what's keeping you paralyzed. Perfection paralyzes potential. And you'll wait, and you'll wait, and you'll have your seed, but you won't see the increase. You won't see the harvest. Randy, would you go grab my planter for me out there on the windowsill? You know, a few weeks ago, we had you take a seed. See, I've kind of been building where we're going here. I wanted to begin planting an idea in you. I needed some time to make this thing work, though. So I had you plant for me a few weeks ago. Everybody remember we went up there and we poked our little finger in the dirt. And then we took communion, which I decided was not a good idea to eat after you stick your fingers in the dirt. But here's the deal. Look at our planter today of the seed that you sowed a few weeks ago. Look at this thing. Now, it's a lovely little bunch of what's supposed to be wheat. Did the illustration work? I mean, you started with a little nasty little brown dried up seed. Look what you got. Now, here's the thing. My wheat doesn't look so good. It's gotten a little brown because we used too small of a container. And now it's at a point where it's kind of crowding each other out and needs room to grow, right? Anybody got any idea what my illustration is? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Randall. I'll tell you, second service last week, this room, there was no place to put anybody. We were wall to wall. It was awesome. But you know what? We're going to shrivel up and get a little brown and not come to full fruition if we don't realize the principle that God wants to bring increase. Right here. He wants to bring increase in your life. Yeah, we sowed the seed, but that's not the end of it. We continue to sow. Why? Because we want to continue to see a harvest. I could preach a whole other message right now. I'm going to let you go. Just telling you, God's given us an illustration of what happens. Yes, you've been faithful. We've seen some fruit. Aren't you grateful for the fruit we've seen so far? This is amazing what's going on at Restoration. But I'm not happy with what we've got right now. Why? Because there's more people to reach. There are more fields to plant in. And the fruit is happy with us four and no more. We'll get a measure of harvest, but there's a whole lot more to come when we'll take these principles that God has shown us. November the 15th, I must give you a warning. We're going to have the opportunity to sow into this work seed that I'm believing is going to create a harvest like we've never known. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. We've had too many men of God stand on this platform and tell us, do you know what God's got in store for you? They see things we can't see because they're from the outside. I'm telling you, what's happening is good. It's about to get a whole lot gooder. I'm so thankful that you're here. Each of you guys is a seed too that God has sown here. And I want to see that increase in your life as well as this ministry. That's what this Daring Faith series is all about. Helping us stretch out. We don't want to contain and restrict what God wants to do. We want to expand it so we can grow to full potential. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? I'm just going to ask you this. What area in your life do you need to see a harvest? What is it? Holy Spirit, reveal it to us now. What area in your life do you need to see a harvest? And truthfully, maybe the most obvious thing may not be the first thing that comes to your mind. Maybe there's something the Lord wants to go a layer deeper in you. So I just encourage you, just take a couple of seconds here. Lord, I just sense there's something eternal that you're wanting to share with us today. As a pastor, Lord, I just ask you to forgive your church for misusing principles that were meant to be used for a whole other reason. So forgive us. Lord, we will not let the enemy rob us of the truth that your word contains. Life's too precious. Life's too short. I'm asking, Lord, that in these days of daring faith, do you reveal to us, God, where we are fearful of releasing seed? Every person here has got seed. Everyone. That's how you created us. We're alive, therefore, we have the opportunity to create life. But Lord, I'm praying for us as a church and for us as individuals. If we're going to see the next level, the greater harvest, we've got to release something. We've got to let ourselves move past fear and to a point of cooperating with the work you want to do, Lord, for the sake of the harvest. Do something silly with me. Would you just hold your hand out in front of you, palm up? So, Lord, you know, this gesture here, open hands. Each of us have seed. And Lord, we refuse to grasp and clutch, to hide it away. You said we're to let our light shine before men, not hide it under a bushel. You've said, Lord, that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces fruit. So Lord, in faith right now, whatever it is that we're needing a harvest for, right now we're going to sow a seed. So on the count of three, we're going to turn those hands over. We're going to drop that seed. Now listen, this is scary stuff. This is what you've been holding on to. This is what you're proud of or what you're afraid of. People finding out about you. Maybe some of these seeds need to go and just get blown away because they're just like chaff. But there's precious seed in that hand of yours right now. And I don't know what the need is, what the harvest is, but you know and Jesus knows. And right now, we're going to supernaturally release to God the fear of the unknown, fear that it might not work. We're also going to let go of any hindrances that have kept us from planting this seed. So on the count of three, I want you just to turn your hand over in faith. One, two, three. Lord, we're letting go. Lord, let those seeds fall to the ground now. Lord, now I pray release over us. Lord, I pray just a freedom right now. Lord, I sense, Holy Spirit, you're just kind of cleansing us from fear. Lord, you're cleansing us from the uncertainty of what will happen if we trust you in these areas. Lord, whatever the need is, whether it's finances or relationships or love and acceptance, dreams that we've dared not even imagine that they could possibly be true, and yet we know they're in our heart. Lord, I'm praying now, God, that you'll teach us through your word the supernatural principle of sowing and seeing a harvest. I'm even praying this week, and Lord, we lift up this church in this Daring Faith series. In the next 4 weeks, God, prepare our hearts as good soil. Lord, you've given us seed, and now we say it's not for us to contain, but it's for us to release. Show us how, God. Lead us. Thank you for your love for this city, for the fruit that we've already seen. May we be faithful to continue to be sowers of seed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.